A million species of plants and animals are at risk of extinction. That's the state of affairs described in a recently released summary of a UN assessment on global biodiversity and ecosystems. Humans have altered wildlife habitat through development, agriculture, water pollution, and most notably in the assessment, climate change. And if things continue as they are, birds, frogs, and insects won't be the only casualties. The full assessment, to be released later this year, highlights the ways that the health and well-being of people are tied to the biodiversity of plant and animal species. It's a new report, but the problems have been mounting for decades. And it made us think of an interview from a few years ago with Elizabeth Colbert. A staff writer at The New Yorker, Colbert is the author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. She traveled to places like Alaska and Panama, reporting on climate change and how humans are driving this new age of loss and die-offs on the planet. Here's some of that interview. Extensive travel is part of your reporting on climate change and later as one of the sort of implications of climate change extinction. Of everything that you've seen and experienced, what's stuck with you, an image maybe, or a place that stuck with you as you think about the situation that the planet is in now?
I think the most extraordinary place that I went was the Great Barrier Reef, which is off the eastern coast of Australia. And the scientists that I went to the Great Barrier Reef with, and many other scientists, all are predicting sort of the end of the Great Barrier Reef and really, to be honest, all reefs in the world by the end of this century. And that's a very, very, very sobering thought. And so if you've seen the sort of richness of life on a reef and then to imagine that ceasing to exist is pretty horrifying, and I certainly think it had a big impact on me.
Can you describe some of the things that you saw or that sort of made an impression on you?
Well, when you're on a reef, you know, a lot of people have seen sort of underwater photography of reefs, this extraordinary richness. It's almost indescribable. It's not something that you can see on land. You cannot simply see that many species gliding by you on land. It's just this experience you don't have as a terrestrial creature. But when you're underwater, and you can probably see, you know, hundreds of species of fish at any given moment just by swiveling your head, and great turtles and rays and sharks all passing by you. It seems to a land creature sort of unreal, almost like a dream landscape.
One of the chapters in this sixth extinction is about bats and the huge number of them that have died recently as a result of white nose syndrome. That's been a big environmental story here in Pennsylvania, but I never really thought about it in the framework that you lay out, the premise that we're entering into the sixth great mass extinction in the history of the Earth and that humans are playing this unprecedented role. Can you talk about that and how your example of bats plays into that?
There are many different ways, and the sort of unifying theme of the book and of science, I suppose, on this subject is that humans are supplanting, taking the place of the great forces of nature, the great geological forces of the past. We are now basically in control of the planet. We may not be controlling it consciously, but unconsciously we are. We're controlling the, you know, we are changing the composition of the atmosphere. We're changing the chemistry of the oceans, and we're moving species around in ways that they cannot move on their own. So we're effectively bringing the continents into contact again. And white nose syndrome is a very vivid example of this. It's a fungus. It's been traced through very sophisticated genetics to Europe. It might have come over with a single person who, you know, had some on his shoe or her shoe, and we have a pretty good sense of where it entered this country. It entered in upstate New York, not far from where I live, actually, and it has now spread to at least 22 states and 5 Canadian provinces in this classic way in which an epidemic spreads, you know, in sort of a bullseye pattern, killing, as you say, millions and millions of bats. And this is unfortunately just one example of a pathogen that we people moved around the world quite unconsciously that has huge ramifications for other species.
Time as a concept in your books, especially the sixth extinction, is kind of comforting to me that in the history of the Earth, we humans in our time here is just this tiny sliver of the whole. But When I think about your reporting on ice cover in the Arctic and the Antarctic and how it's impacted life on the planet in the past and how human activity is accelerating the melting of glaciers, time starts to feel a little less benign.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm wondering, is time on our side?
Well, I think that's a really interesting way of putting the question. I think that one of the points that I was really trying to convey, it is about time, and as you point out, there have been vast stretches of time before humans arose as a species, and you know, presumably there'll be vast stretches of time afterwards on this planet where, you know, life will continue on. But one of the amazing things, and one of the things I was trying to impress upon people, is that in this relatively short time that modern industrialized society has existed, so since the Industrial Revolution, you know, since oil was discovered in Pennsylvania 150 years ago, not very long, you know, massive changes have occurred on planet Earth, changes on a geological scale. So really, we are changing the planet very rapidly by any standard. Even if you look across all of the history of the planet, the rate of change right now is way, way up there. It's sometimes compared to, you know, the last major upheaval in the history of life, which was the extinction of the dinosaurs, which seems to have been caused by an asteroid impact. So you will often hear scientists, you know, very sober-thinking scientists, compare human impacts to an asteroid. And over the great expanse of time, you know, one day when an asteroid strikes the Earth, or, 200 years when humans, you know, are burning through the Earth's store of fossil fuels, they're going to look very much the same in the geological record when, you know, many millions of years have passed.
In your books, humans play kind of a dual role. We're changing the environment, the climate itself, but we're also problem solvers. In the Netherlands, they're experimenting with floating houses to ride out sea level rise, and the many scientists that you talk with who are working so hard to save species from extinction. Which side of our nature do you think is winning?
That's a very good question, and I think that certainly right now the changes that we're affecting quite, you know, heedlessly and unconsciously are outpacing our ability to solve them. But we are very, very clever, and we've been faced with many dire situations in the past, and somehow we're all still here. In fact, there are many more of us now than there ever have been on planet Earth before. So one is tempted to believe, well, we'll figure something out, and one certainly hopes that, but it's not clear. And I don't necessarily, you know, think that I'm going to be around to see the answer to this, but my kids or my grandkids are going to see this story through in ways that will either be very, you know, inspiring and hopeful, or just the reverse.
Elizabeth Colbert is a staff writer at The New Yorker and author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. There's more of our climate change coverage at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.